If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy holy word. What a comfort it is to know that we have those unclouded beams of truth. And we do pray that will bless thy truth to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the expressions Dr. Martin Luther King is best remembered for is from the March on Washington, where he said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." Dr. King was speaking of social and political freedom, which are wonderful gifts of God. We should be thankful for them. But you know, you can be socially and politically free and still go to hell forever, because you're not free from sin. Jesus offers us a freedom. It's the greatest freedom imaginable. Freedom from the curse of the law, freedom from the guilt of sin, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from the devil, freedom from death and hell. Now let's begin where we left off 2 weeks ago, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's clear in the Greek that these are actually two groups of believers. The believers in verse 30 believe with saving faith. The believers in verse 31 are disciples, but they're not disciples indeed, which they very quickly prove by arguing with Jesus and rejecting his truth. Some can be believers in Christ and not saved. You know that? I meet them all the time. "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Do you believe in the Trinity?" "I believe in the Trinity." "You believe Jesus is the Son of God, divine Son?" "Yes, I believe that." "What's your hope of going to heaven?" "I'm a good person." They believe in Jesus, but their saving faith is in themselves. They don't say, "I'm a sinner saved by grace." "I'm a good person saved by being a good person." Believers who aren't saved. Jesus calls this second group children of the devil, so that's pretty clear that they're not Christians indeed. Those who are disciples of Christ indeed are those who continue in his word. That means they accept the word, believe it in all its depths, even the parts they may not like. They believe Jesus is God the Son, and he alone can save us, and we need to be saved, and we're saved by faith alone, not by anything we can do. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free?" These superficial disciples are offended at what Jesus said, that he will make them free. Because that implies that they're slaves. Say, "We were never slaves." They're thinking of physical slavery. How often in Scripture do we read of carnal people understanding the Lord's words in a carnal way? And Jesus told Nicodemus that people had to be born again to see the kingdom of God. He imagined returning to his mother's womb. The Samaritan woman at the well, when she heard of the living water, she said, "Well, that's wonderful. I won't have to come to the well anymore and draw." And now these superficial Christians believe he's speaking of physical slavery. Say, "We were never slaves." I guess they don't remember the little matter of 400 years in Egypt, 70 years in Babylon, being conquered by the Greeks, and now being ruled by Rome. They're in a much worse form of slavery than physical. They're slaves of sin. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus explains he's speaking about spiritual slavery, of those who live in sin. When he says, whoso committeth sin, he doesn't mean falling into any kind of sin, which everyone does, including saved people. He means a pattern of sin, a life of sin, habitual sin. This is like the people Jesus said, call him Lord, Lord, but on the day of judgment, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity are those who may call Jesus Lord, but they live in sin. If Christ makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. Certainly it's still possible for a Christian to choose to sin. But St. Paul explains in Romans chapter 6 that sin does not have dominion over you. You're not its slave. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Jesus says you may be physically Abraham's seed, but you're not spiritually his children, because his word has no place in them. They believe certain things intellectually, but their heart is unchanged. Now Jesus contrasts his father with their father, and he's going to explain in a couple of verses that by that he means the devil. They do the deeds of their father, and he speaks the truth of his father. He answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Again, their defense is that Abraham is their father. But Jesus said, if Abraham were spiritually your father, you would act like him. He meekly accepted God's word, even when it was hard. And certainly he never would have sought to kill the Messiah. Now, like all nominal, unsaved believers, they claim that God is their father. But Jesus says, God is not your father. In reality, your father is Satan. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. God is the father of no person who doesn't love Christ. Jesus says, you cannot hear my word. They hear with their ears, but hearing they hear not, seeing they see not. They are judicially deaf and blind. St. Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Unless the Holy Spirit causes a soul to be born again, they cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Total depravity creates total inability. Sometimes people think, if I could only get Franklin Graham or some superstar Christian to witness to my unsaved loved ones, they'd be saved. But here God himself is teaching, and he's being rejected. God himself. Hear of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. For the many people who think that God is a father of all people and everyone is a child of God, should read this verse carefully. Ye are of your father the devil. Those who think that all Jews are automatically the chosen people should read what Jesus says to these Jews. You're of your father the devil. You don't know God and you're not of God. You can't be if you reject Christ. Satan's a murderer and a liar. He managed to bring death to the whole human race with a lie. Ye shall not surely die, when he knew very well that they should surely die. Death through a lie. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They hate Jesus because they hate the truth. If you hate someone who tells you the truth, it's because you hate the truth. Unsaved people have a nature that hates the truth. And only Christ can change that. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore heareth them not, because ye are not of God. Jesus is the only man in history who could make this challenge. Which of you can convince me of a single sin? The holiest people on earth couldn't say that. St. Peter fell at Jesus' feet and said, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Holy Apostle Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. And Jesus said, Which of you can accuse me of any sin? And he says, They don't believe in him because they're not of God. Not elect, not regenerated. All these things that Jesus says about nominal believers are not of God. God is not their father. They're of their father, the devil. They don't know God, even though they're very religious. And answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. They call him a Samaritan. This is the greatest insult. A hated heretic. They hated the Samaritans more than the Romans. And accuse him of being demon-possessed. Jesus gives us an example here. Calmly answers, doesn't lash out. I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Jesus says that he has the power through his words to grant immortality. Who can do that but God? Anyone who hears and believes his words will never see death. Well, he's not speaking of physical death because he himself will go through physical death. Speaking of eternal death or hell, damnation. It's true that only God can offer immortality. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? This is the third time in this book these Jews have blasphemously said Jesus had a devil. Again, they take his words in a carnal way and completely miss the spiritual meaning. They say this promise of not seeing death goes against everyday experience. Everyone dies. Even the holiest people die. Abraham and the prophets, they all die. So you're saying you're greater than Abraham? That would have been a cardinal sin to claim to be superior to Abraham. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." Again, Jesus denies trying to honor himself, but the Father honors him. Father honored Jesus at his baptism when a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." His Father honored him by his miracles and wonders that he performed. His Father honored is going to shortly honor him by his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. But he says, they don't know God at all. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Abraham has been in heaven for 2,000 years now with Christ. And Abraham knows all about Christ's mission as a savior of God's elect. And he rejoiced to see him begin that mission. The Jews object that Jesus, who was then 33 years old, couldn't possibly have seen Abraham. But Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This is a clear claim to be God. Christ existed before Abraham because he's eternal, without beginning and without ending, the Alpha and the Omega. And notice that he doesn't say before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I am. He always has been. I am is the name of Jehovah. When the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh, Moses asked him, Whom shall I say sent me? And the Lord said, Tell him, I am sent you. So Christ is explaining he knew Abraham because he's Jehovah. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Well, they prove his words that they are murders, because now they try to kill him. And indeed, in 6 months, the Christ-rejecting Jews will succeed in killing him. But until then, it's not his time. By this greatest sin in the history of the world, they will be accomplishing the salvation of all of God's elect. In conclusion, there are disciples in name only, and there are disciples in deed who receive and continue in Christ's word. The disciples in name only may name Jesus as Lord, but they're actually slaves of sin. But if you're a disciple, indeed, Christ has made you free from this curse of the law, from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from the power of the devil, from death and hell. Amen. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. We bless thee, Lord Jesus, for making us free. And we are thankful that we shall have all of eternity return praise and thanks to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Now let's continue our worship as we bring an offering for the church, for the Christian Education Fund.